Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast, yeah, we're still thinking about cupcakes.
Tell us, Greg, what do you think when you're eating cupcakes?
I'm going to pass them all out. Did I miss anybody?
Yeah. No, per usual, you skip me.
No, I must have gotten everybody.
You really are dead to me.
Well, hey, I didn't get any either, so why don't we just get into the podcast starting now.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this Do We Really Know What We're Talking About edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I'm Pod Vader. Of course we know what we're talking about, even if we only got five of our picks right last week. I'm speaking honestly only for myself. There were a couple of other superfans that did much better than I, and we'll get into all of that in just a moment. Let's bring in some of the other superfans that are joining us, and let's start with Greg, who started us last week talking about yellow cupcakes, and Hostess responded.
They did, but I'm now officially on a diet from the wife, so. DZO, I'm all about business. I'm coming for you. I'm going to pick up a game this week. I'm focused.
DZO is the anonymous. That's the word I was looking for. The anonymous leader of our Pigskin Pick'em group on ESPN.com. Although he only got 8 right last week, the power rankings, Greg, did pretty well with 9.
Yep, just shows you that if you pull a big group of people, it's better than the individual, I guess.
So, Neil, you had a conversation with @hostess_snacks on Twitter as they tweeted at us at NFU Podcast.
I certainly did, Jay. And I have to say, they are, of course, the greatest snacks and cupcakes you can get in the world. I hope they're listening. And I was left a little bit bamboozled, really, by the fact that yellow cupcakes are orange flavor.
Yeah, that, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I see, Greg, you've unmuted yourself.
I've never thought, when I've eaten the 10,000 yellow cupcakes in my life, I've never once thought about oranges. So I don't know where they come up with that, but.
Tell us, Greg, what do you think when you're eating cupcakes?
Bliss, just bliss.
All right.
Oh, man.
Let's go. Let's head out to Seattle to our Seahawks superfan, Justin. Were you the first one to bring up Twinkies last week?
No. Hostess sponsorship, please.
I did say that a taste test was necessary for this podcast. I would snacks. That would be delicious. And Neil, who's never had any. I mean, that's where we really need the taste test.
The sound of you guys chomping on cupcakes sounds like podcast heaven.
Especially if they're Hostess snacks. All right, this is enough free advertising for Hostess. They're not paying us anything for this. James is our Eagles super fan. Hello, James.
Hey, 3-0 heading to the bye week, and I'm the one that brought up the Twinkies last week, which I still hold Twinkies are much better than cupcakes.
I agree. You know, the other thing that we're forgetting, James, our Texans superfan, as my wife reminded me at the end of the show last week, is you can, you know, with ha-has and hoo-has, and I mean, you can do all sorts of fun things with the Hostess named snacks. James, our Texans superfan, so blown away by what I said, can't even respond. All right. If you want to respond, perhaps you can come up with something very creative and get a free $20 from us because you'd have the email of the week. Send those emails nextfanup@gmail.com. I can tell you right now, there's a good chance that you could win, as really there's only one email I'm leaning towards that's a potential winner, and his email is not about Hostess cupcakes. I can tell you that, too. Oh. But send those emails in, nextfanup@gmail.com. If we pick your email as the email of the week, you're going to get a free $20. I mean, who couldn't use an extra $20 in their pocket? I know I'd like an extra $20 in my pocket. Why am I willing to give out $20? It's a great question. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast, much like at @hostess_snacks is done. But you're not going to get $20 by doing that. And of course, you can read all of our previews, the individual team previews, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU podcast. We mentioned our Pigskin Pick'em group. Dezio is still in the lead, but right behind him are our power rankings. And Greg has mentioned he's making a move up the ladder. Although, Greg, I don't see you anywhere near the top of the charts here. You're all the way in 19th place. What are you talking about?
Which is what, 3 spots ahead of you? Is that true?
Let's not talk about where I am located on this chart. Let's instead talk about football in the United Kingdom, specifically in England. I normally have an English correspondent to speak to about this particular game, and I did reach out to Nat Coombs. We unfortunately couldn't make our schedules match. We will catch up with Nat Coombs somewhere down the line this season, but instead we do have a UK correspondent. He happens to live in the great country of Scotland. Is that right? Is Scotland a country? Oh, now we're back to geography again. Neil, tell us, what is the feeling like in the UK? Are they all fired up for this game?
Is Scotland a country? Really? Wow. You really are dead to me. Anyway, yes, no, I think, you know, Jay, I'm going to upset UK listeners because I'm not really a fan of this whole NFL in the UK business. I quite like it being in America, and it can stay there along with yourself. I think. Well, what are we looking at? Two pretty dismal teams, and you do have to wonder. Last year, I think Miami travelled to the UK. They lost, and the coach he had to make his own way back. I think, and I do wonder if Gus Bradley is close to. To being looking to buy his own ticket home again. I've never seen a team do so little with so much. They've got talent across the board now. You can't complain about that. No, goodness me, Jacksonville. You're going to lose again, probably. I'd pick them to win the game because they just desperately need to win. Doesn't matter how, just win the game.
This is the 4th year in a row that Jaguars are hosting a game at Wembley. And of course, this is we've said it ever since the Jaguars became the semi-permanent team in the England game that they would be the leading contenders to relocate to England. I haven't heard a lot of talk about that. Maybe it's just because the game hasn't happened yet. But I mean, again, going back to you, Neil, what is sort of the press surrounding the game right now?
Yeah, you'll tend to find if you go to the BBC website or the Sky Sports website, which are the two of the sort of biggest television sort of companies over here, that you'll find information on the game. You'll find news on the game, some background information. There tends to be still a sense of, how can you put it, a beginner's guide to the NFL on these big sites. I think it's starting to disappear, and there's a real core of NFL fans over here in the UK, but it still has that sort of national feeling that it's a sport. It's a bit like the Olympics, you know. You see all these sports turning up, and you watch them for those 2 weeks, and then they go away again for 4 years. A bit like that. But you've got guys like, your friend there, Neil Reynolds and Matt Coombs, these kind of guys, they work tremendously hard on developing the sport. But in terms of, if I go and buy a newspaper or so today or tomorrow, will I find great sections on the game? Probably not. But it's better than it was, that's for sure.
So, Eagles James, what's the injury status in this one?
Well, for the Colts, Trent Cole has been placed on injured reserve. Andrew Luck has been limited in practice this week with a shoulder injury. T.Y. Hilton has not practiced at all this week yet. Of course, Moncrief is on, is out. Darius Butler, he hasn't practiced this week due to a hamstring. For the Jacksonville Jaguars, we've got Prince Mukamara, who's nursing a hamstring injury. Chris Ivory has a knee and ankle injury. He's limited in practice yesterday. And defensively, those are the two biggest injuries so far. Dante Fowler is limited in practice as well.
So it doesn't sound like the – well, I mean, it's interesting to hear Luck is nursing a shoulder, T.Y. Hilton's limping around, and, of course, we knew Moncrief has been out. The Colts really banged up here, but everything in this game, I mean, history, six of the last seven are owned by the Colts. Pagano, 6-2 versus the Jaguars. Gus Bradley, 1-5 against the Colts. Andrew Luck has won his past five starts versus Jacksonville, and he owns them with 8 touchdowns, only 2 picks in those 5 starts. I mean, I wanted to believe in the Jaguars really, really badly, Greg, but the power rankings, I think I dropped them considerably in my power rankings. I have a feeling the super fans are starting to not buy in on them anymore either.
Yeah, they're one of our bigger movers. They dropped 4 spots in the power rankings from 19 to 23 this week. And, I mean, if they can't beat the really bad teams in the league, how are they going to win at all? So, despite I don't even know how to say this, really. Despite the boost at home, even though the Colts are low in our power rankings at 18, the Colts are still the pick. And for me personally, come on, Jacksonville. My fantasy team needs you to do something. Throw the ball to Allen Robinson. Let's get the win.
I will say, in the Jaguars' favor, they did win the last meeting between these two teams. That was in December of last year, 51-16. Bortles threw 4 touchdowns, or totaled 4 touchdowns, 3 passing, 1 rushing. And Rashad Green returned one, a punt return for a touchdown. But of course, Andrew Luck wasn't playing in that game. I had a tough week last week. BetDSI.com, who is an official sponsor of this program, and you can get a free $10 using our promo code FANUP10. They have the line right now at +2.5 for Jacksonville. Man, it is so tempting to go Jaguars. I don't know if I can do it. Justin, who you got in this one?
I'm going to die on this Jacksonville Jaguars hill. I just think they're too good to be 0-4, even though I'm pretty much ready to quit them. And they do play well in London, so give me the Jags.
Texans, James, who you got?
I've got the Colts. We brought this up last year when you said Tom Brady is undefeated against the Jaguars. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there that are undefeated or have very long winning streaks against the Jaguars. So while Indianapolis has started slow, this isn't their first year starting slow, so I think they're going to get some stuff figured out against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Eagles, James, did you tell me who you had?
No, but I'm going with the Jaguars. I can't see them going 0-4. The Colts still haven't shown that they can play any defense whatsoever. Yeah, they came up with a big play last week against the Chargers, but I'm sticking with the Jaguars. I can't give up on them yet.
Neil, who you got?
I've got the Jags.
My upsets, by the way, I don't remember the last time I hit an upset, but I'm going to officially call it and make the Jacksonville Jaguars my upset special, which pretty much guarantees a victory for the Indianapolis Colts. I just don't like that injury report for the Colts. I don't like the fact that the Colts are going over across the pond. The Jaguars at this point, I feel they're used to it. I mean, they've played there 4 consecutive seasons. So I got to give them a little bit of an advantage in terms of that. Plus, I'm with everybody else. I still believe in the Jaguars, but the power rankings telling me I shouldn't, but I'm going against the power rankings. I'm going to take the Jaguars. They're my upset special. I should remind you, our Thursday night preview game, the Dolphins and the Bengals playing tonight. I provided that preview for you in our Wednesday interview show. So please feel free to go and listen to that. to get a Thursday night preview, which is why we're on Sunday. That game, by the way, kicks off at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. So if you're on the East Coast, you literally will have football to watch from the second you wake. Well, if you're Justin, it's a little bit earlier than you wake up in the morning, all the way until you go to bed at night, because that Sunday night game usually ends right around 11:30 in the evening. So a lot of football to consume this coming Sunday. And we move now to the East Coast and the Carolina Panthers, who will be visiting the Atlanta Falcons. Interesting to see that my former boyfriends are 2-1, and the Carolina Panthers, who I picked to be one of the class in the NFC, are only at 1-2. This is going to be an interesting battle. It's a division rivalry, so that always provides some intrigue. But I can't believe the Panthers are going to drop here. Eagles, James, what do we have on the injury report here?
For Carolina, we got Jonathan Stewart, who's out. Guard Chris Scott is also out. Vernon Butler, the defensive tackle, has a high ankle sprain. He has not yet practiced this week. And for the Falcons, Mohamed Sanu, shoulder injury, non-participant in Wednesday's practice. Tevin Coleman was limited in Wednesday's practice with an ankle injury. Julio Jones is also limited with a calf.
Hmm. Who are you liking this one?
I'm going to say Carolina. They have to bounce back at some point. This is a good team to bounce back against. Atlanta is still not shown they too can play defense. So while they may be high-powered offensively, they do struggle stopping people. So
I will tell you, Atlanta won their last meeting last year in December by 20-13. I remember that game because it was a big surprise, at least for me, that the Falcons actually pulled out that victory. Matt Ryan is actually searching for his fifth game in a row versus Carolina with 300-plus passing yards. That's an interesting statistic to me as well. I usually like going with the home team. And I know, Greg, you're a big fan of the home team too, but what are the power rankings? I got to imagine the power rankings have Carolina in this one.
Not even close. Panthers big time. Is this the smartest lock of the week? Question mark.
A division rivalry on the road. No, this would be a very bad lock of the week. But I'm not going to, you know, hate you if you make it your lock of the week. BetDSI has the Panthers as -3. So they are a good favorite, a good road favorite. Neil, who you like here?
I'm just wondering, is Jonathan Stewart still out for this game, James?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to see the Panthers do something impressive without Jonathan Stewart in the lineup, because it seems to take away a considerable chunk of their offense. I think I still go with the Panthers, but yeah, Falcons look pretty good. Second year of the Kyle Shanahan offense starting to pick up. But yeah, Carolina need a win, don't they? And they want some revenge for losing that game last year, which was the only game I think they lost in the regular season.
Houston, James, who you like?
I like the Panthers, although Carolina is definitely one of the prime regression teams. A lot of people forget that at the start of the 2015 season, Ron Rivera was on the hot seat. You know, that was he had just finished up his fourth season in Carolina. He only had one winning season out of those four. Prior to that 15-1 start, they play in a poor division. I think they'll end up pulling this one out, mostly because their two losses have come against upper class teams in Denver and Minnesota. And I don't see Atlanta being an upper class team.
All righty. I'm going to go with Carolina. I don't feel that comfortable about any of my picks at this point anymore. But maybe it's just these first two games. Let's see who's next. Oh, it's the Buffalo Bills versus my New England Patriots.
Wait, hold up.
Oh, Justin, you're right. What do you got?
I'm going to stop you right there. I'll keep this short. I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons. They haven't scored less than 25 points in a game this year. I think that... like James said, I think that Carolina has regressed, which I've been calling for all offseason. So give me the home team in the division matchup.
All right. Interesting. All right, now we'll talk about the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots. And the Patriots pulled off what I think might be the craziest victory that I've ever seen in the Bill Belichick era last week.
Which one?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Last week, last week's victory was the craziest one I've seen in the Bill Belichick era. I think it just, it really solidifies Bill Belichick as being one of the greatest coaches of all time. And this week, if the Patriots pull off a victory, I will be surprised. The injury report, which I will get to with you, Eagles, James, in just a moment. I know already we've got Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett both nursing injuries. My guess is we're going to see Garoppolo start this game, but he's literally only going to be in there to hand the ball off. I see the Patriots not throwing the ball very much at all in this game. I see them just handing the ball off and literally trying to get this game over as quickly as possible without any further injuries to any single person on this football team. And thus, I mean, I have to take the Patriots to win the game. BetDSI cannot list a point spread. And my guess is that's because there's no starter listed. ESPN.com has the opening line at Patriots minus 6.5. That point spread is ridiculous. I am going to take the Bills with the points, but the Patriots to win. Ultimately, this is their let's get this game over and let's get to Tom Brady versus the Browns next week. That's how I foresee this game. What is the injury report here, Eagles James?
Well, Jay, you know how Bill Belichick does with the injury report. He doesn't really tell us anything. And officially, everybody on the injury report is listed as questionable. So Brissett and Garoppolo were limited at practice this week, as was Gronkowski with his hamstring. Those are the biggest ones. On defense, Dante Hightower has a slight tear in the meniscus of his knee, but is progressing well with recovery. For the Buffalo Bills, one moment here. Sammy Watkins missed practice today. Aaron Williams was limited yesterday in practice. Ronald Darby, he has a hamstring injury. He's been limited in practice. And Jack Lawson, who is yet to play, is still out.
Who you got?
I'm going with the Patriots. Right now, Jay, I think if you show up to the game and you can get Belichick's attention, he may put you in at quarterback.
I've joked that my son, who plays quarterback for our flag team, could go in and win a game for the Patriots. But that's also a lot of bias. Greg, I know the power rankings have the Patriots at the top, so the power rankings are going to take the Patriots. How are you feeling on this?
I think starting 3-1 for the Patriots would be pretty good without their franchise quarterback. And the Bills, I mean, come on. The Bills are a 2-2 team running all over them, so I'm going with the Bills because it'll make me sick if the Patriots are 4-0 without their quarterback. So
prepare to be sick.
Houston James, who you like?
I learned my lesson last week. I will take the hoodie.
Neil, who you got?
Yeah, Patriots, move on.
Excellent. Did I get everyone's pick this time?
Yeah. No, per usual, you skip me. I'm going to take... I'll just see myself out. I'm going to take the Bills. Honestly, I think the Patriots are probably going to win, but I got to make up some ground. My goodness, how do you keep winning? I don't get it. How do you do it? You're probably going to win this week anyway. And I'm going to lose this point, but I don't care. I just got to pick the Bills.
I will be shocked, honestly, if the Patriots win. I literally don't see them throwing the ball maybe once or twice, but they're just going to throw Garoppolo out there to hand the ball off and get us to week number 5. The Lions are at the Chicago Bears. The Lions are 1-2. The Bears are 0-3. I'm pretty sure the Bears have dropped pretty badly in the power rankings. I know I had them a lot higher than where I have them now this week. I have the Bears down at number 29. What do the power rankings have on this one, Greg?
Well, the Chicago Bears are still at 29 in our power rankings, and the Lions, despite their feistiness, are 25th. So this is going to be a really close one. I think this is basically a pick 'em, but the power rankings are going with the Bears because are going with the Lions, despite only the narrow margin of difference here. I'm also going with the Lions, mainly because, like I said last week, I've given up on Brian Hoyer.
The line from BetDSI.com is -3 for the Detroit Lions. What's the injury report look like, James?
For the Chicago Bears, we've got, of course, Jeremy Langford. He's out. Jay Cutler, limited in practice this week, but doubt he plays. Alshon Jeffrey, also nursing a knee injury, was limited in practice. For the Lions, we've got... See, Eric Ebron didn't participate in practice this week so far. And that's the biggest injury showing so far for the Lions. I'm going with Detroit. The Bears pretty much are a shamble of a team. They look like a mass unit out there, even aside from Jay Cutler. A lot of people listed as questionable this week. But they haven't proven they can do anything, either offense or defensively.
Justin, before I forget about you, the Lions have won the past 6 versus the Bears.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Lions. I think the Lions are a mediocre team, which is substantially better than the Bears are.
Neil, who you got?
Yeah, I'm with Justin there. The Lions will win this one.
Houston, James?
I've got the Lions as well.
All right. Next up is the game of why Neil says I'm dead to him. Is the Cleveland Browns at the Washington Redskins. I originally had the Redskins in as my lock of the week, but honestly, Neil, your team sucks.
If we can just pull back the curtains here, Jay, why don't you tell us, where you have these two teams in your own power rankings?
I have the Cleveland Browns now at number 25 and the Washington Redskins at number 27. I'm sorry. Wow. The Cleveland Browns are at number, 25. The Redskins are at 27.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
Okay. I mean, Jay, it doesn't matter where you have Washington. Maybe you're right enough with Washington, but Cleveland, this is the worst team in the league. Maybe the Chicago Bears are close by, but oh no, Cleveland... They may have plenty of fight, but they are the worst team in the league. Washington's going to win this game comfortably, absolutely comfortably. I believe Joe Hayden probably not going to play in this game. And even if he does play, Washington's going to win. Kirk Cousins will throw the ball down the field. He got himself into a terrific game last week where he was actually pretty flawless. And as Justin knows only too well, Washington has the number one passing attack in the league. Give me Washington.
Justin, I will allow you to retort.
If you want to hear me go off on Neil, refer back to the Tuesday Power Ranking show. They have the most passing yards because they've been bad and been behind. He's got too many interceptions to be a top passer. But he did play well last week. I think he'll be okay this week against the Browns. Give me the Washington team.
I'm taking Washington. I just can't lock them in. The line, by the way, Washington -7.5.
Lock them up.
No. -7.5. I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns. I think they're going to do exactly what they did against the Dolphins, against your crappy Redskins. James, what's the injury report looking like?
Well, Josh McCown, Corey Coleman, Carl Nassib, and Cameron Irving are all out. Defensive backs Joe Hayden and Tremont Williams have not yet practiced this week and are listed as questionable. Isaiah Crowell is also questionable, is limited in practice with a knee. For Washington, we have Deshaun Phillips, defensive back, has not yet practiced this week. And Josh Doctson has also been out this week in practice. Deshaun Jackson has been limited with a knee and ankle injury. Washington has not looked anything like the powerhouse they were towards the end of last season, where they miraculously stumbled and fell into first place in the division. They have not looked competent as a football team at times. I don't know what New York was doing with defense last week. I think they actually gave the game to Washington and Washington winning it. I really want to pick Cleveland, and I am going to pick Cleveland.
Mm. That's a nice big upset. I like the chutzpah on that one. Houston James, who you got?
I'm also going to take Cleveland. You know, they are a bad team, but they are not Detroit Lions from 2008 bad. They're going to win one or two games this year. And looking at the remaining ones, that's, you know, they've got the Redskins, they got the Titans. So I think that they're going to win this one and stave off the donut for the year.
I'm just going to reiterate to you, Neil, your team stinks. If they lose to the Browns, then they really stink.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not denying the fact that Washington is not very good. The defense is terrible, but we're bad, but we're not quite that bad as yet.
All right, Houston James, this is the game we've all been waiting for, because the biggest news of the week was that of J.J. Watt, who re-injured his back. He had the back injury during the preseason. Well, I'm going to let you tell the whole story of J.J. Watt. It's the Tennessee Titans at the Houston Texans. What is going on down in Houston?
I mean, if you want the whole story of J.J. Watt, I'm sure you could follow him on his various social media accounts, although I don't know how active he is on those. When the injury happened just before the preseason, I kind of looked at the schedule and realized that, you know, the games that we had in the first 5 or 6 weeks really weren't going to be swayed just by the presence of J.J. Watt. You know, if we came out of the first 4 or 5 games at, 3-2, or, we'd still be at the head of the division. He accelerated his return plan. It's not one of those things that if the doctor says you're going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, it doesn't make it unwise to come back at the 4 week mark. You know, if you're, recovered at that point, it makes all the sense in the world just to come back. You're not going to become more healthy just by sitting out the additional 2 weeks. And, you know, every player is different. He rushed back to be ready. I think he rushed back also under the hubris of he had never missed a start in his career. I know Neil has brought up his frame and how he has a very small lower body to carry the very large upper body. And that's going to play an interesting factor on his back and just how low he gets and all of the punishment he dishes out on a regular basis. I hope this time he's learned his lesson. I realize how foolish that is to say, and that they do shelve him for, if not this entire season, then at least until the playoffs. As bad as the Colts have been, as bad as the Jags have been, as bad as the Titans have been, if we can't make the playoffs, we're going to be in a similar situation, or without him, we're going to be in a similar situation to last year, where we're just barely going to make the playoffs and then get shelled at home by a team like Kansas City. So, big loss. Obviously, you can't replace him. If there's any comfort to be taken, it's that in these first 3 games, he definitely was not playing at J.J. Watt level. And, he didn't really make – he made his largest impact in the Kansas City game, but it's not like a 50% J.J. Watt or a 60% J.J. Watt is completely irreplaceable. I think we'll manage. We won't be nearly as good, but we'll still be better than the Titans this week.
Well, I think really what your consolation is that the Texans have won 7 of their past 8 versus the Titans. Last year, you beat them 20-6 with Brian Hoyer and then 34-6 with Brandon Whedon. So I think that's the consolation that you have, is it's the Titans coming to town and not, say, the Patriots or the Chiefs or a team like that. I'm going to take the Texans here, and I am, in fact, giving them my lock of the week, despite the loss of J.J. Watt. Besides Watt, James, who else is on the injury report here in this game?
For the Texans, Braxton Miller had some practice this week with a hamstring, and running back Jonathan Grimes is dealing with an ankle injury. He hasn't practiced yet either. For the Titans, Tajay Sharp is nursing a hamstring injury. Delanie Walker is also nursing a hamstring injury. Tajay was limited and Delanie was out in practice.
Who you got?
My pick, I'm going with the Texans. They're at home. It's a division game. These teams sometimes look evenly matched, but just given the scores from last year's games with two different quarterbacks who I don't even think both are in the league this year, going with the Texans.
James, yeah. There's an interesting aspect to the J.J. Watt injury, which I'm sure happens on many teams. It's this interesting relationship between the player, the trainer, doctors, and the coaching staff. I wonder what the thinking is there in the Houston Texans building at the moment. And from the outside, of course, to us who know nothing about what's really happened, it looks like the doctors have made a mess. But I wonder how much of it is player pressure or coach pressure.
Well, I think they honestly put JJ on IR just so that he didn't try and come back earlier. Because I know the team wasn't super thrilled when he came back ahead of schedule, because everybody on the team was saying that they shouldn't, that he should be targeting like a week two or week three return. And then he went out and said, no, he's going to be ready for week one. It was kind of like the reverse Shanahan RG3 thing from the Redskins a couple years ago.
Neil, who you got?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have got Houston because I think regardless of the Watt injury, they are the class team in that division this year. So it looks anyway early on. So yeah, Texans for me.
Greg, I'm sure the power rankings have the Texans. Who you got?
The Texans. I think it's going to be a closer game than people realize because of the rush defense, but Texans.
I'm pretty sure I missed one of you guys.
Of course you did. Yes. Give me the Texans. Honestly, without J.J. Watt, I don't know what they have to hang their hat on right now versus the Titans, but they're at home, so I'm just going to go with the home team.
By the way, BetDSI has this game Texans -5, and I still will take the point. I'll give the points and take the Texans. The next game on the list is the Oakland Raiders at the Baltimore Ravens. The Raiders, who are sort of like my boyfriends on the side, still getting it done at 2-1 and having won on the East Coast, which is good because historically they don't do that well when they travel east. The Baltimore Ravens, I think right now, are the surprise 3-0 team. I didn't have the Ravens going 3-0. Certainly didn't expect to see them at this point. At least this high in the season. How are the Ravens doing in terms of the power rankings, Greg? Have they? I'm assuming they've moved up the charts some.
Yeah, they're definitely finally gaining the respect of the rest of the super fans. They're climbed up into the 13th spot, so they're just outside of the playoffs if it ended today. They're gonna get the win at home against Oakland, not only because God hates me, but because Oakland's only rated 12th in the power rankings, and with the methodology, the Ravens will get the boost.
The Ravens have the standard -3 being at home, according to BetDSI.com. James, what's the injury report?
Not much for the Oakland Raiders front. Tywan Jones, a running back, has a knee injury. He didn't practice this week, and offensive tackle Menelik Watson has a calf injury, also didn't practice. For Baltimore, we have Kamar Aiken nursing a thigh injury, missed practice. Kenneth Dixon has a knee injury, was spotted at practice, but didn't do much. And Elvis Dumervil has a foot injury. He returned to practice, but was limited as well. Even though it's a West Coast team going east, I don't trust Baltimore's offense. They've either started slow or been completely inept despite the competition they played. I'm going with the Raiders.
These two teams met last year in September, and the Raiders hosted that game and won 37-33. Derek Carr had 3 touchdowns, 351 yards passing. Michael Crabtree had 9 catches and 111 yards in that game. So it should be a good one, Neil.
It should be, Jay. First of all, I'd just like to say it's been a whole week now, and I'm disappointed to hear that Greg hasn't sorted out his issues with God. But moving on to the game itself, I would say that, yeah, I don't buy the Ravens at all. Who have they played? They've played nothing so far. Three wins, no losses. It's not real for me. So give me the Raiders. I think they're a far better team, far superior team, and down to earth with a bump for Baltimore.
Justin, who do you like?
Well, fortunately, you can't skip me this time because I jumped into the superfan battle with Monty, but I'm taking the Oakland Raiders. I think that they're simply the better team, and even though they're on the road, both of their wins have come on the road. I think that their game travels.
Oh, my goodness. I totally forgot that we have a superfan battle. Oh, you can tell my mind is definitely not here today. So let's hear what you had to say with Monty and listen a little bit more closely as to what's going on here.
Yes, it is. The autumn wind is blowing, and the autumn wind is a Raider, my friend. So thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I'm here to talk a little bit about this week's Raiders versus Ravens game. Big Don Paul, our Ravens superfan, is actually doing the right thing and taking his family to Disney World, so he is not able to join us to tell me how delusional I am and how I'm off base. But luckily, Justin has stepped to fill that role, our Seattle Seahawks superfan, and he'll be able to comment on how I'm drinking too much and drinking too much Kool-Aid on my Oakland Raiders team. So thank you so much for joining us, Justin.
I'm happy to be here. Honestly, your Raiders have burned me this year, so this will give me a little bit of payback.
Yeah, I felt bad when you locked him in for the Eliminator, but, you know, you're an old AFC West rival before you went to the NFC. So, you know, I feel like I can talk smack with you with the best of them. So it feels fitting that you're on a fill-in call against the Raiders this week. From my point of view, I'll just jump right into it. This week's game, I think, I'll be honest with you, going into the preseason and right now, I think that the Ravens are a little bit of a pretender. I know they're 3-0. I know they're undefeated. They've been playing way better than I thought they have. But when I look at their roster, I think that they are not one of the best teams in the league. I definitely don't think they're one of the best teams in their division. And I know it's only September, and it's way too early to be thinking about who might make a run for a wild card spot. But I just don't think the Ravens are going to be in that conversation at the end of the year, and I think the Raiders are.
The Ravens are a team that all through the offseason, I think I was in the minority when I said that they were going to be a good team this year. And for the most part, they haven't let me down. I mean, the addition of Mike Wallace has been huge. This offense can move the ball again. Steve Smith has all of his legs attached. So I'm not surprised, but I agree. They're, 3-0, you think of a very, very top AFC team. They're not that. They're a upper half of the league team who has a lot of issues, and their record does not reflect really their standing in the league.
I think the first name you brought up, Steve Smith, I think he's going to have a field day against this Raiders defense. I don't know if you've been able to watch any Raiders games or followed along on the box score, but the Raiders defense has been a huge disappointment to this point. For the past 2 years, the Raiders have not been able to defend anyone across the middle of the field, mostly giving up yards to tight ends. But I think Steve Smith and Dennis Pitta, even on one hip with the other one tied behind his injured back, he is going to have a field day this week against the Raiders. But Mike Wallace, it remains to be seen, but I think Reggie Nelson is going to kind of neutralize that threat. He's played against Joe Flacco coming from Cincinnati for a while, so I think he knows how big of an arm Joe Flacco has. And he had a lot of picks last year. I think he's going to kind of offset the Mike Wallace threat, and then it'll really just be how many drives the Ravens can consistently move down the field with, little tiny chunk plays going to the tight end, going to the Steve Smith. The running backs do not really scare me at all. The Raiders have had a fairly good outing against the other team's rushing defense, and I'm not a believer in this committee. Justin Forsett, Buck Allen, and Terrence West. I don't think that Ken Norton Jr. and company are losing much sleep over that tandem going into the weekend.
I'm a big fan of the Raiders defense on paper. I think that you're right about Reggie Nelson. I think at this stage of his career, Reggie Nelson is a much better player than Mike Wallace. The only thing is the way the Ravens play, you know, they just throw those balls up. They're looking for the pass interference call just as much as they're looking for the reception. And with the way that they use Mike Wallace, they only need one, you know, to get in field goal range or to be, you know, in the red zone for a close touchdown. So I don't think they need a ton of those to score. I think the way that they match up against the Oakland defense is, I mean, it's, I see ways for them to move the ball. I've been saying since the preseason that this defense that I was really, really high on for Oakland looks soft to me, especially on the defensive line. I think that, you know, you have these tweener players who are great tweeners like Bruce Irvin and Khalil Mack, but, you know, on downs where they're playing as defensive linemen, they're undersized. So it's, you know, Ken Norton, former Seahawks coach, love him to death, but I don't think he's really hit his stride. I think he will. I think, you know, when Chris Richard took over the defense, he had a 4 or 5 game stretch where we were getting the pitchforks out too because he wasn't maximizing the talent. I think that's where you're at right now, but I don't think that you're past that stage. So I think that the Ravens will have success moving the ball. We'll probably get at least one or two fluky pass interference calls downfield and get some points off of it.
Fluky pass interference calls or straight up legitimate pass interference calls are kind of what DJ Hayden has made a name for himself. So I definitely think you're right there. Defensive line, it's hard to disagree with anything that you're saying. The Raiders defensive line of our defense as a whole have come up with 3 sacks through 3 games this year. And that's with Khalil Mack, who I think is one of the top defenders in the league. Whether you want to put the blame on Ken Norton, whether you want to put the blame on Khalil Mack, whether you want to put the blame on, you know, Reggie McKenzie, whoever it is, something's not working and they need to figure it out quickly. I agree with you. I think the Ravens are going to be able to move the ball. I think they're going to be able to score some points. But the Raiders offense has been scoring points and is actually like, I think they're the second leading yardage offense in the league right now. I know they haven't exactly played murderer's row, but neither have the Ravens. But the Raiders are able to move the ball. I don't think anyone, including, you know, our collection of super fans would have an issue with the Raiders offense. The rushing game seems to be clicking. The offensive line is performing phenomenal. Derek Carr's only got 2 sacks. Kelechi Osemele is going to go back into Baltimore, which will be, you know, an interesting emotional turn for him. He's already been kind of tweeting and making comments that, you know, there's going to be a lot of chatter going back and forth between him and the defense that he's practiced against in training camps the last few years. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. At the end of the day, I think that the Raiders defense is suspect. They're open up for a lot of big plays. But, you know, last week they seem to have, they at least put together one half of solid defense. And if they can just make enough plays on third down to cause the Ravens to, you know, not be able to hold serve, I think the Raiders offense are going to be able to move the ball, put some points up on the board. And I think at the end of the day, it's going to be close, but I just think the Raiders are going to be able to score a little bit more than the Ravens.
This is where the truth is going to come out. The Baltimore Ravens, believe it or not, have the second best defense in the league if you're measuring by yards allowed. Oakland's got the second best offense in the league by yards allowed and by points per game. So one of these is real, one of these is for pretend. I'm with you, though. I think that the one that's real is the Oakland offense. I think that Derek Carr, like he's the guy. He's a franchise quarterback. You know, I don't think we need to talk about him as this, you know, young guy who, you know, is looking pretty good. Maybe can get there, you know, after a couple years in the league, he's still looking terrific. Amari Cooper is, and he's, people don't realize how well he's playing by looking at the stat sheet. I think
phenomenal.
Oh my goodness. So good. Like seriously, just don't look at the stat sheet. Look at him. You know, when the ball is anywhere near him, he's like doing like jumping cartwheels, like making these ridiculous catches to come up with it. So, I think that Oakland offense is for real. And I think that the defense for the Baltimore Ravens is a little bit more tenuous. The Ravens do get Elvis Dumervil back. Until he shows me otherwise, I'm still going to keep believing he's a very good player. But I think this is where there's some separation between the teams. I think that while it's going to be hard fought with the Ravens offense versus the Oakland defense. Here, I like the Oakland offense. You know, I may not be the best example battling for the Ravens here, but I mean, I think that if we're just being realistic and looking at what these two teams have actually done on the field, Oakland's got a clear advantage on this side of the ball.
It should be a good battle. I do think stats are for losers, and we relish in them. And I do say we because I've been quoting stats every time I'm on Slack talking with you guys. But to keep it in perspective, the Ravens have jumped out to a 3-0 start. They've had a impressive defensive showing against the Bills in week one, who are really struggling. That was a terrible game for the Bills offense. The Browns, who I know Hugh Jackson's been able to pull a few rabbits out of his hat, but come on, the Browns are not one of the top feed. I think they're ranked 32nd in the power rankings by the super fans, and the Jaguars, who are 0-3 and struggling on all fronts. So I think this will be a good test. I think if the Ravens defense is for real, the Raiders offense is going to be a good test. One thing I'd like to throw out there is that Derek Carr seems to be getting a lot of praise as, you know, that one of these young quarterbacks who's making a lot of, you know, progress. I definitely think he's improving. He definitely takes risks. Like, he'll throw the ball up there and just trust that Crabtree and Cooper will come down and make a phenomenal play. This game's on the road. Derek Carr's going to throw it up for grabs. And, you know, most times, especially at home, Crabtree and Carr are able to bail him out. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens defense, you know, gets an interception and the Raiders aren't good enough to overcome the turnover battle. So if they can't get a couple turnovers on their own, this could not end well for the Raiders. But I have to believe that in Baltimore, the Raiders are going to prove, and hopefully they can rely kind of on the running game and Derek Carr play with the lead and not forced to take as many chances. But the Raiders are second in the league in rushing, and they have been, you know, killing it behind their offensive line. So I'm hoping that, similar to last week, the Raiders jump out to a lead, control the ball, and Derek Carr can kind of just chill out a little bit on throwing up some 500 balls to the secondary of the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'll say about that, though, and, you know, I'm going to come to your quarterback's defense against you a little bit. He's thrown one interception all year. I mean, literally just one. Maybe you say he's just checking him up there, but just as an outside observer, I think he's got Amari Cooper. And, I mean, don't sleep on Michael Crabtree. He was a first-round draft pick for a reason. He's very tall. He's very long. And he goes up and gets the ball pretty well, provided he's not covered by Richard Sherman. So I think that, you know, that strategy fits his personnel. But let's make sure that we don't forget about the two legendary players in the most important phase of the game.
Obviously, third of the game, special teams. I mean, I know there's a lot of Next Fan Up listeners out there who will be tweeting about the special teams taking place in this game. But I'm with you, man. Like, watching Seabass and Justin Tucker, at the end of the quarter, you really only have to have a few completions to kind of get those guys within range. And for the last, man, I think it's coming up on 17 years for Seabass. You kick it off to the Raiders, they literally make three passes, and he's within range to try a long field goal to end out the half. So this game might come. I'm taking the over, actually. I think it's 46 for the over-under, 46.5, and I wouldn't be surprised if they cover that and take the over. But it might come down to one of these two kickers booting up a 55-yard field goal at the end of the game. And I'm just putting my money on my guy.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, everybody knows who Seabass is. And, you know, Tucker, if people haven't been paying attention, he might be the best kicker in the league. You look over these last several years, you know, he's accurate. And, man, has he got a big leg. And he's really accurate from distance. So this is one where even, you know, if both teams can move the ball a little bit, which I think they can, I don't see a reason why most drives can't end in at least a field goal with these two kickers and, you know, two defenses that I think can be exploited. So, yeah, I'll take the over just because I don't expect a lot of punting, maybe not a ton of touchdowns, but I expect most drives end in a score some way.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope it comes down to the wire and, you know, it should be a good game to watch. And there you have it. Let's kick it back to Pod Vader, and those guys can all pick the home team regardless of all of the brilliant facts that we just brought up on this Superfan battle. Thanks, Justin.
Absolutely.
All right. So that was the Superfan battle. Houston James, I believe you're the only one left who hasn't made a pick on this game.
Yes, I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens. And on BetDSI, you don't have to be restricted to just betting individual games. You can bet NFL futures. And right now I am investing a little bit of hard-earned capital on the Baltimore Ravens plus 250 to win the AFC North. Right now, they're the only team in that division that have scored more points than they've allowed. I feel that's a dangerous thing to bring up, being that no AFC South team has scored more points than they've allowed. But I like Baltimore. I think all of their injuries from last year allowed them to draft a little higher, build up a little bit of depth on that team. And this year they're back to being dangerous.
Greg, I know God hates you and all, but it sounds like Houston James hates you too.
Well, I just think that's there's, you know, a fool in every room. That's all I know. So,
speaking of West Coast teams, the Seattle Seahawks have traveled east for a 1 o'clock kickoff against the New York Jets. The Jets at 1-2, Seahawks 2-1, but the Seahawks not looking good at 2-1, Justin. They did finally get things back on track against the 49ers, who are also one of those really bad teams like Neil's Redskins. But what are you thinking here as you see your team travel east?
Well, first off, thanks, Bot. I was pretty sure you were going to skip me on this one, too. And Greg, this is what flying across the country actually looks like. Call back to last week. So a lot of people are very confident, very comfortable taking the Seahawks in this game. And I'll be honest, you need to pump the brakes on that. This is amongst the absolute longest trips any team is going to make in the NFL this year. New York is not the easiest place to play. And the Seahawks have struggled against teams with really, really good defensive lines because of the struggles on their offensive line. So those are all boxes checked in favor of the Jets. I'll be honest, I would be borderline tempted to take the Jets to win this game because of those reasons. That being said, you look at Ryan Fitzpatrick and that Jets offense, and they were catastrophic last week. It was horrific. They'll play better this week just because there's not a thing worse than what they did last week. But against this Seahawks defense, which is the best in the league in pretty much every category, they're not going to have a lot of points. So to me, I think this will go a lot like the first game against the Dolphins, which is a close game. Everybody's waiting for the Seahawks to kind of explode and start throwing up a bunch of points, but that's not going to happen, especially not with a hobbled Russell Wilson. It will be interesting. I'm not sure if you guys saw, we added CJ Spiller, which could be kind of a fun little thing on third down. Doubt we'll see much this week, but that's kind of interesting news. So give me the Seahawks, but it's going to be like 10-7, like 13-10 or something like that. And if somebody wants to take the Jets in this one, I can't say that you're crazy to do so.
BetDSI has the point spread in this game at -2.5 for the Seattle Seahawks. James, what's the injury report look like?
Well, Thomas Rawls is out. Jimmy Graham has a knee injury, limited in practice. And Tyler Lockett, also with a knee injury, was limited in practice. Interesting enough, missing from the report is Russell Wilson. We know he's still hobbled from the ankle injury. And reports that I've seen this week say that he has not practiced this week thus far. As far as the Jets, Eric Decker has a shoulder injury and hasn't practiced this week. Matt Forte is limited in practice this week with a knee injury. D. Milner has been released from the Jets injured reserve. And actually, they released him outright. He's no longer with the team. Revis did not practice this week. And with the performances last week by the defense, well, the defense played well against Kansas City. The offense just completely imploded on itself. I'm going to have to go with the Seahawks. I want to take the Jets, but I'm going with the Seahawks.
Greg, my guess is the power rankings have the Seahawks in this one.
Oh, yeah. We love some Seahawks. But so the power rankings will definitely go that way. I'm going to go with the Jets and Chan I trust.
The Jets have won 7 of the last 10 meetings in the series. But, I mean, the last time these two teams played wasn't was all the way back, dating back to 2012. The Seahawks won that game. It was at home 28-7, and Russell Wilson did play in that game. But Marshawn Lynch was a big factor. The last time these two teams met in New York was in 2004. The Jets crushed the Seahawks 37-14. That great quarterback, Chad Pennington, had 253 yards and three touchdowns in the game. And the traitor, Curtis Martin, ran for 134 yards and two touchdowns in that game. So there's a little history lesson on this. I'm still taking the Seahawks here, but Houston, James, who you got?
I'm going to go with Greg and pick the Jets on this one. The whole West Coast team traveling east, they haven't looked right. Let's just throw out conspiracy by Roger Goodell to make the LA market relevant and keep the whole NFC West down so that LA looks competitive.
Neil?
Well, Jay, it might be a long trip for Seattle to get across there, but it's going to be an even longer day for the Jets. You can give me Seattle, and Fitzpatrick's just going to spend the entire day with a whole face full of Michael Bennett, isn't he?
Probably. All right, before we get to the 4 o'clock games, let me tell you a little bit more about BetDSI. They've been around for over 20 years. They're a very safe company. You know you can rely on them. They got great customer service, and they pay their winnings out fast, which is all very important. Plus, when you sign up, the first time you sign up, you're going to get 100% bonus on your first deposit. And using our promo code, as I mentioned earlier in the show, FANUP10, you're going to get an extra free $10. So if you think about this, if you send us an email that we pick as email of the week, not only will you get $20 from us, but you already get $10 from us for playing at BetDSI. You can make $30 and then turn that $30 into something else by picking either against my picks or by going with the power rankings, which is what I'd really suggest. Follow our power ranking picks. And you could do pretty well at BetDSI.com. Remember, use our promo code FANUP10. And there was a presidential debate this week. You can also place bets on the presidential elections. And after the presidential debate, I still fully encourage you to vote hashtag none of the above. Please, please don't put one of these idiots in power of this great country. Thank you very much. I'm off my political soapbox and on to the 4 o'clock football games. And we begin with the Denver Broncos at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Broncos are at 3-0, maybe a slight surprise, 3-0, but pretty much, I think, right where we thought they'd be. The Tampa Bay Bucs, 1-2. Maybe underachieving a little bit, but also probably right about where they're supposed to be. Greg, what do the power rankings say?
The power rankings have come around on the Broncos. They're at 5. And the Bucs, oh gosh, they're dropping to the bottom third of the league. That loss to the Rams last week really hurt. Myself and the power rankings are going with the Broncos.
I think I'm leaning towards the Broncos here, too. It is a West Coast team going east, but it's a 4 o'clock kickoff. What's the injury report, James?
For the Buccaneers, Doug Martin is out. And Robert Ayers, the defensive end, he has shed the cast, but is still not practicing. For the Broncos, let's see here. No big injuries there. Virgil Green did not practice. And of course, DeMarcus Ware is out with the fractured forearm. I'm going with the Broncos.
I will tell you, Justin, that the two quarterbacks here both had pretty big days last week. Trevor Siemian is the only quarterback in NFL history with 300-plus passing yards, 4-plus passing touchdowns, and his first career road start. He had a big passer rating against the blitz last week. Jameis Winston had a career-high 405 passing yards with 3 touchdowns last week, and he's tied for the NFL lead with 8 touchdown passes so far this season. Who you like?
I like the Denver Broncos, not having anything to do with the quarterbacks whatsoever. I think their defense is by far the best unit on the field. I think that Tampa Bay has a terrible defense, which is why they were in a shootout with the Rams of all teams, and why they were completely destroyed by the Arizona Cardinals, who don't look that good. So give me the Broncos.
The BetDSI.com has the Broncos at -2.5 and mentions that they have won 5 of their last 7 meetings, but just 1-4-1 against the spread, with 3 of the last 4 going under. Interesting stat. I don't know necessarily if that means a lot to anyone else. Houston, James, what do you got?
This isn't too complicated. I'm going to take the Broncos.
All right. I got everybody this time. Did I miss anyone?
Yeah, you missed me out.
Yes.
Well done. Job done.
Do my streak Broncos. Alive.
Broncos next.
Broncos next. The next is the Dallas Cowboys, a surprising 2-1 with Dak Prescott playing quarterback, and the San Francisco 49ers, who finally returned back to earth against the Seattle Seahawks last week. That said, man, do you really want to trust those Dallas Cowboys? And I'm also wondering how much Tony Romo is concerned that Dak Prescott might keep the job, even if Tony Romo is ready to go. Let's first get an injury update. What is that, James?
Orlando Scandrick is questionable. Let's see here. Tyron Smith has a back injury. He didn't participate in practice this week. Dez Bryant, the biggest injury for the Cowboys, received diagnosis of a hairline fracture in his right knee. So he's probably limited in practice, but I have seen reports saying that he will play this week if all goes well. And Charles Tapier, the defensive end, has been placed on injury reserve. For the 49ers, let's see. We have Garrett Celek, their backup tight end, was limited Wednesday's practice with his back injury. Vance McDonald, the other tight end, didn't participate in practice at all. And defensive back Jimmy Ward has a quadriceps injury. He's been ruled week to week. I'm going with the Cowboys. Again, as long as Chip Kelly is head coach of the Niners, I will always be picking against them.
Greg, let's talk about the power rankings here and maybe address some of those other questions I brought up. I'm curious what the power rankings have for this game.
Well, for the Cowboys, we have them right in the middle of the road. They're number 16 in our power rankings. The 49ers, even though they have a win, they're still on the bottom two in our power rankings. Thank God for the Browns, I guess. And, you know, we have the Cowboys. The power rankings will pick the Cowboys to win the game. Now, that being said, I think Chip Kelly has something cooking there, and I like San Francisco at home this week.
Wow. It's a bold pick. This is definitely not the Cowboys 49ers of the 90s. The Cowboys have won 3 of their last 4 against the 49ers. They last played in 2014. The 49ers won with Colin Kaepernick at quarterback. Vernon Davis had 2 touchdown catches in that game. Justin, what do you see here?
I think that the San Francisco 49ers will move the ball a little bit against a really, really bad defense, which means Chip Kelly will feel good about himself. But at the end of the day, there's actually some talent on the Cowboys. You can't say that about the 49ers. Give me the Cowboys.
Let's see here. Blaine Gabbert is averaging 284.3 passing yards per game at home. That's in his last 4 home games. So they do have a chance of maybe moving the ball up and down. Neil, what are you thinking about Dak Prescott there in Dallas?
I'm thinking that as soon as Romo's healthy, he's going to be warming the bench, Jay. I think their offense is pretty limited, really, with in the passing game, certainly. But as for the game itself, I think there's a bigger question here, Jay, and that is does BetDSI have any over-under in terms of months or years for the wound, the Chip Kelly wound that James has in his heart, when that's going to heal?
That, I don't think so.
The wound has healed, but I remember what that Eagles offense looked like last year, and if you're telling me Blaine Gabbert is a better quarterback than Sam Bradford, then, sir, you need to have a head examination real soon.
Sorry, James. Was that a bit too soon?
Not at all, but I don't believe in Frisco as long as Chip Kelly's the head coach.
Yeah. Okay,
Chip is gone, Jay, sorry. All
right, give me the 49ers here, Reggie.
All right, Houston James, who you got?
Although I don't trust either of these teams all that much, I trust the Cowboys slightly more, so I'll take the Cowboys.
Cowboys giving 2 points to the 49ers. I'm going to take the Cowboys. I'm not going to feel good about it, though, but I'm going to take them. I will feel a little better, despite the records of these two teams, of taking the Arizona Cardinals. The Rams, 2-1. Cardinals, 1-2, which... If you told me that this was the way that the season was going to start for these two teams, I'd laugh in your face, because I said the Rams were quite possibly one of the worst teams. I think I gave the Rams only one win in my preseason predictions. So the fact that they now have two, they've already proved me wrong. The Cardinals, I picked as one of the best teams in the league. I got to imagine, though, the Cardinals are got to be mad at this point, despite what happened last week against the Buffalo Bills, and they're going to come out and they're just going to destroy the Los Angeles Rams. Greg, I'm pretty sure that these two teams are on opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of power rankings.
Yeah, it's not close. I don't even think the game, like, no one in the right mind is picking the Rams. I think what's interesting is maybe we'll see the season Jared Goff.
That'd be interesting. James, what's the injury report?
Tavon Austin from the Rams is nursing a shoulder injury, so he's been limited. Also, William Hayes, who left the game on Sunday, has not yet practiced this week. He has an ankle injury. For the Arizona Cardinals, this is a new one. The punter actually made the injury report with an ankle injury. That's Drew Butler for the Cardinals. Michael Floyd has concussion, so he's in a protocol. He was limited at practice this week. And backup tight end Troy Nicholas was placed on injury reserve with a wrist injury. I'm going with the Arizona Cardinals.
I think that's a safe pick. Anybody want the Rams here? Anybody want to make a case for the Rams?
I can make Rams a case for the Rams.
All right, go ahead, Neil.
Well, I would say that I've read a lot about the problems with Arizona Cardinals. But I think Justin summed it up perfectly in one word last week on our Power Rankings pod, where he said that they really just look shell-shocked. I think shell-shocked is a great word for the Cardinals. They just look stunned still from last season's playoff loss. And yeah, that's the case I would make for the Rams winning, getting in Palmer's face and closing that offense down. Whether they can put points on the board, it's another story. And I will take the Cardinals here, but it would not be a huge shock if this very poor run by the Cardinals continues.
The spread on this one is 8 points. Justin, do you feel one way or the other on this one?
Well, I just wanted to say that the Rams have a very good defensive line. The offensive line of the Cardinals has struggled. Carson Palmer has struggled, and he really struggles when he's being eaten by Aaron Donald. The Rams played pretty good offense last week, albeit against a bad defense. I don't think they moved the ball very well. But this is one, you know, division game and all that. Would not shock me if the Rams won this one. I'm picking the Arizona Cardinals at home, but it's absolutely not crazy. And give me the Rams on the points at least.
So I think last week I said one of the trends developing this season is to take whichever team is going up against the Cleveland Browns. And I obviously moved off of that because the Washington Redskins are just as bad as the Cleveland Browns this week. I think the other trend that we're seeing is any team that's going up against the New Orleans Saints, unless you're the New York Giants, you're going to be in a shootout. And so as the New Orleans Saints go and visit the San Diego Chargers, the question is, can Phillip Rivers, without Keenan Allen, keep up with Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints? My guess is the answer is yes. And I'm going to take the Chargers here at home. Greg, what does the power rankings look like for this one?
The power rankings are slightly favoring the Chargers in this one. And when we get that 3-game boost, it's not really that close. I do think this is a sneaky, maybe most entertaining game of the week to watch. You know, maybe not the best matchup, but it's just going to be like a basketball game out there. So it should be fun.
James, what does the injury report look like?
Offensive tackle King Dunlap for the Chargers. Missed practice. He's day-to-day with migraines and an illness. Brandon Flowers is in the concussion protocol, so he didn't practice this week. Joey Bosa is a limited participant in practice. Whether he'll play or not is still undetermined. Antonio Gates didn't practice this week. He has a hamstring injury. And Manti Te'o has been placed on injury reserve. He tore his Achilles Sunday versus the Colts. for the Saints, Kenny Vaccaro has an ankle injury. And Josh Hill has an ankle. He didn't practice this week. Willie Snead has a toe injury. He was limited in practice. I'm going to go with the Saints. Both the Chargers pretty much keep piling up injuries. They're basically a walking mash unit, even with the people who are able to play are not at 100%. They're not even at 80%, it looks like. The Saints, I get it. They have no defense, but the offense can still put up points.
So the last game between these two teams was in 2012, and Drew Brees went for 370 yards and 4 touchdowns. So the Saints won 31-24. The last game at San Diego between these two teams, the Chargers beat the Saints 43-17. Drew Brees passed for 257 yards and 4 touchdowns as he was the San Diego quarterback. So it is an interesting history to see between these two teams, and especially that with Drew Brees. The Saints also 3 of the last 4 against the Chargers, but that was a long time ago, Justin.
Yeah, that was a very, very long time ago. These are two very disappointing teams to me. Both are teams who will let me down a bit. I think they're fairly evenly matched, so I'm just going to go with the home team here. Give me the Chargers.
This game, as I mentioned, I believe any team against the Saints, you're going to be involved in a shootout. And this game's over under is at 53.5, according to betdsi.com. Neil.
Yeah, I think you can once you get into sort of 3 or 4 games of the season, you can start looking at teams and saying, right, take away their best performance, take away their worst performance, and what you've got left is who they are. The problem for the Saints is their best performance was in a narrow loss. The wheels are coming off this particular wagon pretty quickly. So no way are the Saints going to win this game. San Diego all the way.
And I'm missing nobody. I got everybody, right? Yeah, good. Houston James had to leave us.
Did you give a score there, Jay? Or did you forget yourself?
Did I make a pick? I may not have. I'm going with the Chargers in this game, giving them the slight advantage because they are at home. They are giving 4.5 points, and in a shootout, I'll give the 4.5 points. It's too risky to just say they're going to win by a field goal. The next game is an interesting one, Greg. The Sunday night football game featuring the Kansas City Chiefs, my official boyfriends this season, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who literally, I don't have the proper words to say what the Steelers did last week against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm guessing you also would be at a loss of words that are appropriate to use in a broadcast.
They got Mike Tomlin. This is his typical, how the heck did you lose that game in the first 4 of the season? So, moving on, you know, the Steelers had a ton of injuries actually in the game. People were freaking out because Ramon Foster and Eli Rogers both got hurt off the offense. Apparently, Eli Rogers is like Antonio Brown now in the importance level. But the defense is a lot more concerning. The defense lost Jarvis Jones, Lawrence Timmons, Ryan Shazier, who are all doubtful for the game. And if that wasn't bad enough, we only have 5 safeties on our roster, and 3 of them got injured in the game. So that is Robert Golden pulled his hamstring, Mike Mitchell, who's never healthy, hurt his shoulder or something, and then our young stud second-round draft pick, Sean Davis, hurt his back. So, and they are all doubtful. So we have eight guys that play huge parts on the roster, doubtful for the game. So half of them will play, half of them won't. We'll see what happens. None of this matters because Le'Veon Bell comes back and everything's going to be great.
Everything is going to be great because of the return of Le'Veon Bell. So you're going to take the Steelers here?
I'm going to take the Steelers because it's a primetime game at home against the Chiefs. The Chiefs struggle in Pittsburgh for whatever reason. The Steelers are normally clutch at home in primetime. Tomlin, for some reason, actually coaches in primetime games. All those factors add up. And I think Le'Veon Bell's, over-under for touches in the game for Le'Veon Bell, I'm going to put it at 30 because I really think they're going to run the wheels off of him. I think they have to.
Hmm. It's a 4.5-point spread, the Steelers giving that. They have won three of their last four, although that one loss was last season. Granted, it was at Arrowhead. The last time these two teams played in Pittsburgh was the year before in 2014, and the Steelers did win that game. What does the injury report look like for the Kansas City Chiefs, though, James?
Yeah, he did a great job covering Pittsburgh. So the Chiefs, Jamaal Charles, was limited at practice this week. Tamba Hali has a hand injury, did not practice. Marcus Peters, who caught everything but a cold on Sunday, he has not practiced this week. He's actually dealing with the flu. And Sha'Carri West did not practice as he has an ankle sprain. All that being said, the way Pittsburgh got mollywopped by my Eagles on Sunday, they'll be hungry for a little bit of, you know, retribution. Unfortunately, Kansas City is the next team on the schedule. I'm going with Pittsburgh.
The silent killer, the flu, maybe raising its head a little early this season, Neil.
Oh, no. Give us a number fire stat quick, Gene.
A number fire stat for this particular game tells us that the Pittsburgh Steelers are a 49.5% likelihood, minus 4.5. Kansas City, 50.5%, plus 4.5.
Well, you can give me the Pittsburgh Steelers televised game and bounce back. Roethlisberger rarely has two very poor games back-to-back, so Steelers.
And Justin?
You were hesitant to throw it my way. That's awesome. Thanks, Bod. So the last time these two teams faced each other, Le'Veon Bell went off for 121 yards. I think him being back, he's going to have a big day. Just like Greg said, I'm not surprised that the Steelers lost a game that they probably should have won. They may do it again. That's just the Mike Tomlin regime. But big games against big opponents, they play really, really well. So give me the Steelers here.
I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs. I liked a lot of road teams this week, and I've since switched to a couple of the home teams because it just doesn't happen. I think I had more than 50% of the road teams winning the games this week, and that never happens in the NFL. Maybe this will be the week, and maybe I'm stupid for changing my original gut pick, but I'm sticking with the Kansas City Chiefs. They are my boyfriends. The Steelers looked pathetic, Greg, last week. If I'm going to be just as mean to Neil, I might as well be just as mean to you.
That's fine, but I think DZO is going to get a bigger lead on you. Just be watching.
No, DZO will get that lead, and I will climb up the chart. What did we say with the power rankings? What are the power rankings on this? The home field advantage gave the Steelers the win, right?
Absolutely. They're both top 10 teams, but with the adjustment, the Steelers went from 4-1, which the Chiefs are at 8. So both good power rankings, just that advantage makes it not close.
Well, that would be my only cause of pause, would be what the power rankings say. But I'm sticking with the boyfriends. I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, the Monday Night Football game. Hey, we have a super fan battle on this. Let's hear what they had to say.
Welcome to the Super Fan Battle for Monday Night Football, where the New York Giants are taking on the Minnesota Vikings, a matchup I am petrified of. I am Sam, the Giant superfan, and with me on the other line is Davey, the Viking superfan. What are you looking for in this game, Davey?
Hey, Sam, how's it going? I'm pretty excited about this game. It's been a while since I've actually heard another fan say that they're actually afraid of us, so that's kind of refreshing. I think for me, the biggest thing to watch for is obviously going to be that offensive line for us. We are, you know, pretty decimated up front, and Sam Bradford doesn't exactly have the biggest track record of staying healthy. And with Teddy going down early, you know, I know we've all had plenty of conversation on our Slack channel about Sam Bradford, more than anybody can really bear at this point. But one of the main things has been the fact that we traded for a guy that's, you know, basically a China doll. So he's going to be probably the main thing to watch for there. The next big thing, you know, kind of on defense, I think, can our defensive line keep it up? We've had a pretty great track record against the Giants ever since that horrible, horrible memory of 41 Donut back when I was, I think, in high school or something. So that defensive line is going to be, you know, we're looking pretty Bronco-esque here. And for me, if we can, you know, if we can have Everson Griffin do what he did last week, I don't see why we can't control you guys and take another win. I'm thinking that we can hopefully come away here with another one of these, you know, 23-17 type victories. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't be shocked if we come back down to earth. Our running game has been abysmal, even when we had Adrian Peterson. And our offense is still a lot to worry about. So if we can't get going, we can't keep relying on our defense to, you know, play that field position game and put us in a position to win every week. You know, eventually we need to be able to run the ball, move the chains that way, you know, play old school Vikings football. And if we're not able to do that, I'm not really sure if we'll be able to pull it off, and something's going to catch up to us at some point here. So, you know, I'm curious of what you think in terms of, you know, our offense as it relates to both the fact that, you know, we basically have one receiving threat that's sort of scary with Stephon Diggs. And other than that, I'm not really sure if there's anybody else you see as actually being, a scary threat to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think you touched on all the points on the opposite end of what I was going to say. The Giants' offensive line is decent at best, and I think Eli Manning is in for a long night. And as worried as I am about Everson Griffin and, you know, the former Giant, Linval Joseph, that secondary and those linebackers scare me. Eli Manning loves throwing picks at the linebackers. I could see Kendrick taking one home. I could see Harrison Smith taking one home. I think Xavier Rhodes, last week, there's nothing you have to say. Just like at the stat line, I think Kelvin Benjamin had a target that wasn't even a real target, which he didn't catch. So it seems like the Vikings have all the pieces on defense to hold the Giants' offense down. You know, they can guard Odell, they can rush the passer. The Giants don't really have a running game. So I'm really worried that the fans are going to see a cautious game on both sides of the ball. I imagine that's what you think is going to happen. Also, it's just going to be a field position battle, low scoring game, because I think the strength of both these teams are in defense. See anything different than that happening?
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be one of those cautious games, like you said, where we basically do what we did last week against Carolina. And one of the things I've been kind of excited about with our coaching staff is that they don't panic. And we've gotten different early in these games and played that field position battle, and it's worked out for us. And I'm not used to that feeling of getting down in the game and actually having confidence that we can figure out a way to just kind of stick with it and have it, you know, work out in the end. The big difference here is that, you know, you guys have Odell, who you one play and he can, you know, knock the top off of any defense, even if they're good. And, you know, if you actually watch that Carolina game last week, we really got away with a couple plays where they had our number and it got called back for some stupid penalty that Carolina, you know, had. There was one block in the back on Trey Waynes that took back like a 50-yard touchdown. And that was a touchdown all the way. Trey Waynes was not going to make that tackle. So there was, you know, there's a couple points left on the board there by Carolina that were by no means going to, you know, that they deserve to have, basically. So there's certainly a chance that you guys can put up points on us. I think that we, you know, we're going to play that game conservatively, like you said, and hopefully we'll come out with a win. But I won't be surprised if Vikings fans come out a little bit disappointed here.
How do you see this game turning out? Give me a prediction. Let's see if we're on the same page here.
You know, I still like to think that it's going to come out 23-17-ish Vikings. If that score was inverted, I'm not going to be totally shocked.
Yeah, and I've been thinking 17-10, 17-13. is how the Giants are going to win this game. I think if Minnesota scores 21 points, I'm pretty confident the Giants are going to lose. We just don't have the offensive line to come back in a game. A defensive line that can just pin their ears back and rush the quarterback, especially when that quarterback's Eli Manning and, you know, throwing some mistakes. He really needs a clean pocket to deliver, and I don't think we're going to get it this week, but, you know, like you said, it's only one or two big plays, and Sam Bradford scares me a little bit because he's actually not been bad, and Stephon Diggs is a hell of a receiver, but I think that that's the only weapon you have, and I think the Giants can take him. I think it's a close game, but I think the Giants pull it out. Anything else to look for the Vikings that you're taking away from this game looking forward for the rest of the season?
No, I'm just looking for us to escape one more game without hopefully not losing another offensive lineman. If we can stay healthy and not have to sign another guy off the street or our practice squad, I'll be happy. So hopefully we can get there. Is there anything on your guys' side that you see us doing that, you know, you're more terrified of than, you know, it's lucky that we don't have Adrian Peterson, I suppose, but.
Yeah. I mean, we're good against the run. We signed Zach Harrison. I would have liked to play. I mean, I'm happy on one hand we're playing a team that doesn't have the wide receiver corps to really test us. Because, you know, I think that's where the Giants are going to really have to become better at. I think we're great against the run, but our cornerbacks are hurt, so maybe it's a good thing that we're playing, you know, a team without the most talented receivers. I'm just looking for, like, one offensive line player to have a good game and not get touchdown called back, not get thrown out of a game for a block in the back on Josh Norman that had no reason to happen last week that probably cost the Giants the game. So I think we're on the same page. I think we're both, you know, just trying to be cautious and not really getting our hopes up for this game, which at least we won't be too disappointed at the outcome.
Right on.
All right.
Well,
cool.
Good luck. We'll hopefully, you know, chat on Slack throughout the game and see how it goes.
All right. So there goes Sam and Davey. They gave their pick on this game. What's that injury report look like, Greg? James.
For the New York Giants, both running backs, Rashad Jennings and Shane Vereen, are nursing injuries this week.
Shane Vereen is out.
He's out. I'm sorry. He tore his tricep. Sorry, missed that one. Eli Apple suffered a hamstring injury, so he's day-to-day. And for the Minnesota Vikings, no major injury except for Alex Boone, the guard. He has a hip injury and should be okay for Monday night. Sharif Floyd, the defensive tackle, is out. That being said, I'm going to go with the New York Giants.
Really?
Yeah. I picked a lot of road teams as well. I still don't trust Sam Bradford. The defense has carried him. The way he's played has not been great. It's barely been okay. I'm still shocked that they ran off 22 straight points against Carolina last week. It's not sustainable because it's Sam Bradford. And the Giants, aside from the game that they lost to Washington, their defense has picked up much better this year than it did last year. So with no Adrian Peterson and going up against Sam Bradford, I like the Giants' defense to at least keep them in the game and Eli Manning to make a couple of key throws late to give them the win.
I know, Greg, I moved Minnesota way up my power rankings this week, despite the fact that I still hate them. But at 3-0, even with Sam Bradford and even without Adrian Peterson, this team is getting it done.
Yeah, they are. I think they're easily going to get the power rankings pick at home, primetime game. They're for real. They're like the 2000 Ravens at this point, until proven otherwise. I mean, that defense is good enough to carry them.
Vikings -5 on betdsi.com. And I will tell you that they've won 5 of the last 7 versus the Giants. They played last year in December and crushed the Giants in Minnesota, 49-17. Jerick McKinnon rushed for 89 yards and 2 touchdowns. This just in, Jerick McKinnon still on that Minnesota Vikings team and will be the main running back against this Giants team. I kind of like Minnesota here, Neil.
Yeah, Minnesota. The Giants made Washington's defense look half decent at times last week. What? How they're going to make the Vikings defense look? I shudder to think.
I guess the one question from you here, though, Jay, is the Giants cornerback, Apple, does he have a core injury?
That's wow. Well done. That is well done. Justin, who do you like here?
I like the Vikings. I actually like the Giants pretty much overall this season, but I just don't see any way for them to score points. And last I heard, I think you need those.
You know, I'm going to go back to you, James, here just as we wrap things up. Sam Bradford has passed for 457 yards and 3 touchdowns with the Minnesota Vikings in 2 starts. That's pretty good. That's more than just the defense carrying him.
It won't last. It won't last. He's yet to turn the ball over. It's coming.
All right. Fair enough. I will add that when he was with Philadelphia, he threw for 320 yards and 2 touchdowns versus the Giants. Sam Bradford, I think Sam Bradford might be a little underrated.
Jay, that was in that great Chip Kelly offense.
It was right. In that great Chip Kelly offense.
Great.
It's true.
So how many games does Bradford have to win to make their first round draft pick trade with the Eagles worthwhile?
They'd have to win a division with at least 10 games.
Okay.
All right. Just so you know, the Vikings -5, if I failed to mention that, from betdsi.com. Remember, use our promo code FANUP10 at betdsi.com, and you get a free $10 courtesy of us, and you can get a free $20 if we pick your email of the week. Send those emails nextfanup@gmail.com. We want to give you money. That's what we do here. We give you money because we're giving you picks that you can bet against and then make even more money off the money that we're going to give you. Tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, check out all of our previews for each individual team on Facebook, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. We have quite a few super fan openings, Greg. Do you know them off the top of your head? I know Miami just recently became open. I know Tampa Bay has been open for a while. There's a few other teams in there.
I believe Dallas is one of them. Detroit. Sorry. And did we say Tennessee?
We did not mention Tennessee. Tennessee is also open.
And so,
hey, you can. What's that, Neil?
I was asking, is Tampa Bay still open as well? Because I thought Tampa Bay was still open too.
Yep.
Tampa Bay is still open. So, quite a few openings. And of course, if you haven't heard from your super fan in quite some time, that means that team might be open as well. So send those applications in to nextfanup@gmail.com. By the way, sending an application would qualify you for perhaps email of the week. Just another incentive to join the team here at the Next Fan Up podcast. We'd like to present you with the view of all 32 from the teams, from the guys that know their teams the best. And that is, of course, the fans, because the talking heads, they've got, you know, researchers and other people feeding them all sorts of information, and they're going on websites too. They don't know what they're talking about. That's why they're a talking head. All right. For all of our super fans, and I love you guys so, so much. And I know it shows in the Slack group how much I love you guys. peel behind the curtain. I've been yelling at them quite a bit this week. For the super fans, for BetDSI.com, for Hostess Snacks, we will have that taste test at some point. Even if I have to ship Hostess Snacks directly to Neil's house myself, I will make that happen. I leave you with the immortal words of Jeff Fisher, and there you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is 4 quarters long.